Good afternoon and welcome to a special Black Friday edition of the Noon Report. I'm your host, Brandon Dixon. Today, the Family Life News Team is taking a moment to reflect on how the pandemic has impacted our faith, family, and fellowship. Never has a word, COVID-19, so shaped a year for an entire world. From death and illness to shutdowns and job loss, everyone has been affected in some way, shape, or form. And as we're in the midst of a holiday season unlike any other, our roundtable discussion begins with Martha Manikas Foster, who discusses how her family is balancing safety amid celebration.
I think the idea of flexibility has been paramount for us, and our gathering traditionally is kind of big because I celebrate with my siblings and their children and sometimes and grandchildren as well as my parents. But looking ahead to Christmas, it may be that we actually tour, you know, where one family goes and sits on the porch and has just dessert with the other family, you know, and then goes to the next place. It seems like flexibility, agility is paramount. And that is so hard because, I mean, I started at Family Life writing columns about kind of like how you can bring those traditions so you can teach your kids about Advent and about Christmas and how you can do that for 3-year-olds. And I love the traditions, but when it comes right down to it, the traditions are part of the sentiment. They're not the core of what each of these holidays is.
Family Life's Sarah Harnish says spending time with loved ones has taken a little extra sacrifice this year.
I've got an interesting story because half of my family's in New York and half of my family's in South Carolina, and we're trying to honor and respect our older members in the family. And so I spent Thanksgiving with my mom in New York, but had to quarantine to do it and then be able to get COVID tests. It was me and two of my 5 children. So we had to get COVID testing before. And then when we landed on the plane, we had to get COVID testing when we landed. And then we had to quarantine and then have Thanksgiving. And I'm like Martha, we would have 50 or 60 people at our Thanksgiving. Our immediate family, just my husband and my children and my grandchildren, is 30. So when we include our parents and my siblings, it's well over 50 or 60 people. This Thanksgiving was 6, and it's just a bit of a different vibe. But I think the big thing is making sacrifices, being willing to hunker down, being willing to do the testing, being willing to quarantine, being willing to prioritize my mom and her safety and make sure that she's okay, and still find creative ways to get together.
Bob Price, who along with his twin and fellow Family Life News anchor Bill Price, comes from a large family, says things won't be quite the same this holiday season.
Yeah, I mean, one of 13 kids, and there's, I think at last check, 50 grandkids. And that's why we get together as family, because we live all over the world, really. And there's 2 times a year, you know, there's the holidays, Christmas and the 4th of July. Those are the 2 times of year where we get together. At the beginning of this thing, when the whole world shut down, I lost my brother Tom, who was my hero. And he was the guy that got us through tough times. And I like to say the whole world stopped and my world stopped. And really looking forward to being with his 5 kids this Christmas, because that support structure they need. But I have family all over the place. And with the COVID restrictions, had that tough talk with my mom just a couple days ago. Hey, Mom, for your health, you know, she's no spring chicken anymore, even though she still looks it. For your health, maybe we need to just, you know, less is more this year. That was hard. And I know that there's going to be families where it's going to be conflict this year, because there's going to be some family members who say, I don't care what the restrictions are or what the science says, we need to get together. And there are going to be other families that say, hey, because I love you, we're going to have to do it different this year. That's a hard conversation to have, especially having lost a brother at the beginning of this, when we didn't get that closure to begin with because of the restrictions, and looking for that time together. It's going to be hard. It's going to be different, but we'll get through it.
Tracy Woolsey says while Christmas has yet to be determined for her family, Thanksgiving wasn't terribly different this year.
Obviously, there was not as many people there at my mom's house, and we did the physical distancing, but not a ton changed for me in my circumstance this year, for Thanksgiving at least.
The pandemic also has taught us to use our creativity in staying connected, and the families of our news team members are no different.
Zoom has become a part of my life, or the Google version of it. There's many versions of that. But in my immediate family, my children and their spouses, my husband, we have a weekly time when we see each other on the screen. So we're not ever more than a week away from what's the newest thing that happened in your life. And you can see the expressions on people's faces. And yeah, sometimes the connection isn't great. And we used to do phone calls like on party line kind of speakerphone kind of thing. But now we are seeing each other's faces. We make time for that. And we can really bounce off of what happened last week. So that's been helpful. When watching the Bills, my family's big Bills fans. Now there is a text stream during games so that people are commenting back and forth. And my darling, darling daughter-in-law plays the shout song every time the Bills score. And so that has become something that has been delightful as well. My siblings and I, when we think about the family of my birth, have been able to visit with my folks on their screen porch. Now, of course, those days are kind of in our past, but God has been blessing us with incredibly good weather given our descent into or ascent into winter. So the idea of jumping in, and then with my siblings, we make sure to be in contact at least by text to talk with each other, not just about our holiday plans, but just checking in on each other. It's not perfect, but we've all been hoping that it's for just a time, just a time.
I took my kids to Plymouth Plantation, and I thought it'd be kind of neat to, instead of spending 6-7 hours in the kitchen cooking for my mom, to bring Thanksgiving dinner from the Mayflower to her. So we actually ordered the whole meal and froze it and brought it and then reheated it in her kitchen. So it was kind of a neat blessing, but her kitchen's very small. And so just having that many hours in close quarters would have been probably stressful on her. So we just brought it. And then we got some weird stuff too. We got like Indian pudding and apple cider cake and like things I wouldn't have even known how to cook. So that was kind of neat. And just little things, like we're a big board game family. We have board games all over the house while we have like the human-sized Jenga, and my kids love giant versions of things, probably because they're giant people. Three of my sons are over 6'2", so they're just big. So they love the big giant checkers and all that. But if you have people coming in from different places, you don't want everybody touching the checkers pieces. So we've just gotten a little creative. We're playing things more like Battleship, where they're not touching each other's pieces, and just kind of taking that extra care to stay a little bit farther apart. And we're still having a great time. It's all right. I think it's about creativity and doing things just a little bit differently than the way that we did them before, but still having that time together.
This part isn't super creative, but it seems novel. I know for me, I have actually picked up paper and a pen. What is that? I have written a letter in the midst of the COVID stuff. I have written a few letters. And for the holidays, that doesn't work so well. But just using our phones for actual conversations has been precious, to actually have a nice, long, deep conversation, even long enough so there are some awkward pauses like, what topic next? What haven't we covered? Let me think about all the relatives in my head and that I haven't seen for a while. Like, you know, for me, I have relatives in Indiana as well and different places, but connecting with them and seeing how they're doing.
I hate that phrase, new normal, because I kind of like the old normal, the way we used to do things. But this is temporarily. It's a new normal. And not taking for granted togetherness. Sometimes we always think, well, grandma's always going to be there, or brother or sister is always going to be there. Like you said, Tracy, picking up the telephone and actually having a conversation. I think social media has done such a disservice. This tool that was meant to improve our communication has done anything but. I think we communicate worse than we ever have because we don't talk to one another. People are messy, and it's give and take. It's push and pull. And you've got to be vulnerable, I guess. And that's something I've learned is, you know, when I have conversations with mom, I think they're going to be 3-minute conversations. They end up being 3 hours, maybe. But she just wants someone to talk to. And maybe that's the one thing I've learned through all of this is not taking for granted that togetherness, because it's not guaranteed. And we have to find other ways to stay connected. And the telephone is a wonderful tool. Pick it up and use it for something other than social media.
Even during the coronavirus crisis, a turbulent election cycle, and economic struggles, we still have plenty to be thankful for. And this pandemic has taught us to appreciate some things even more.
it's kind of sent me on a deep dive. I know that's going to really shock you. But we didn't ask for this. But you know what? We're not unusual in time. The church has lived through pandemics. But I think even more, I was thinking about the people that we emulate in our history and in recent history. So I can look at my in-laws. Some people can look at their grandparents. We look at what we've named, or Tom Brokaw named, the greatest generation. And they lived through privation, right? So yes, they went to war. They didn't ask for war. But let's say we don't even think about those who actually went into battle, and we think about the home front. They collected up keys to be melted down. They lived with rationing so that everyone could have. So I think about how we look at them now and how much we admire what they went through. I lived my entire life probably not thinking I would need to be in that situation, but that's what we have. So I'm not saying that we are should aspire to be the greatest generation, but mostly I want to say is that we are not unusual. We kind of thought we were going to live in this continuous progress and things were always, maybe even we had the right to better, but coronavirus happened. And the way that we deal with it shows our character. So if I may, just for a moment, go to Lord of the Rings, which is not on the level of scripture, but I love it. And so there's a conversation between Frodo and Gandalf, if you're familiar with Lord of the Rings, and it goes like this. "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. "So do I," said Gandalf. "And so do all who live through such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what we do with the time that is given us." And we can look to scripture for parallels and, of course, superior inspiration, but we're not alone in facing something difficult, and we have choices on how we handle that. So I think that I have been thankful for numerous things, just in the times that we've had snow, looking at how the snow lays differently on deciduous trees and on conifers. It's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. And I have the time to look at that, and I have the intention, because we recognize the fragility of life. Every conversation with somebody is, am I leaving that conversation well? If I left anything undone, unsaid, and we should always live like that, but this is giving us the opportunity to really think about that.
I'm thankful for all the traditional things, right? I'm thankful for a great church family. I'm thankful for my own immediate family and for precious friends. I think COVID has really taught me to reflect and slow down. Bob talked about this earlier. It helps us kind of sift through all the noise of life and look at what are the most essential things. That's been really good for me, the time to reflect, even though there have been some aspects of this whole COVID pandemic of months now that has just been super busy. But it's made me kind of sift and weigh what's really most important, and even reflect, like asking myself, how am I making the most of my time to reach out and to impact others? And maybe it's somebody that I haven't talked to for a while, and the Lord might bring them to mind and say, hey, maybe I'll text them, or maybe I'll just pick up the phone and call them. But the idea of being more intentional, I think, has come out of it for me.
You know, the saying is COVID doesn't affect you until it affects you. And this year, I'm thankful for health. I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for another sunrise and a sunset. I'm thankful for air that fills my lungs. I'm thankful for friends and family. I know I had a nephew in the ICU in Charlotte. He didn't know if he'd make it. Abe. I have a nephew in Minneapolis in the ICU. We didn't know if he'd make it. Micah. I have a mother-in-law in the ICU with COVID pneumonia. We didn't know if she'd make it. So many family members have been impacted by this disease, this plague. And I try to be all things to all people, and that's advice I know. And I want to be 10 feet tall and bulletproof to my coworkers and friends. But am I investing that much energy and attention to my own immediate family? When I get home, step out of the car, step into my house, am I trying to impress them as much as I am everyone else? And I look at my daughter and my son and my wife, and I say to myself, I owe it to you, because I'm not guaranteed another second of another minute of another hour of another day. And this virus has taught us that, hasn't it? People who go to their graves thinking it can't get me, and it not just gets them, it kills them. So I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my two beautiful children, and I'm thankful for the gift of life.
For me, and I know you guys are going to laugh when I say this, but it's really taught me to slow down. from the pace that I have been keeping. I think since John and I had kids 20 years ago, you have kids and you're just kind of thrown into this frantic pace of caring for them. And, you know, I used the beginning of COVID to teach my boys how to cross stitch. So I had teenage boys sitting all over my house cross stitching penguins. And we found a used piano in March and got some piano books and all started learning piano together. And I was flying twice a month to speak, and I've been home since March. So that's just been amazing to spend more time with family. We started cookbooks with our kids. We did a diet together for 6 months, and I've had time to homeschool my granddaughter. And so I look back over the time that we've had, and I haven't regretted the pausing of it. But 2 weeks ago, I'm thinking I'm really nailing this whole slowing down thing and cutting the busyness out and going a little slower. And I had a bad fall outside and fell on some glass in my dominant hand and severed two of the nerves in two of my fingers and my thumb. So that has taken my left hand out of commission. And it was almost like God said, whoa. Okay, you thought that you were going slow enough, but my pace for you is actually this. And it's kind of pulled out of my life a lot of things that I really, really love at the moment, like cooking. You know, you can't really cook with one hand, or putting your hair in a ponytail. Like, there, it's just very difficult. So I think I've been relearning what the Lord's definition of rest is. And I know that we know that as Christians, how we put the Sabbath in so that we can slow down and catch our breath. God didn't need rest. He didn't need to build it into creation, but He did it for us because we needed rest. So this season for me, especially the last few weeks, has been slower, pause, listen, be still. Like, it's just this season of silence and God teaching me maybe some of the things that were in my life before don't need to return. Maybe some of the craziness or the many things we had the kids involved in that had us running 5-6 days a week, maybe we can reevaluate some of that stuff, because the closeness and the pausing, just like Martha was mentioning, noticing how the snow sits on the trees, or Bob for his gratefulness in his family and seeing the people that have fallen sick and the ones that are recovered and the ones that haven't, it just gives you this thankfulness that when we're so busy, we don't notice those things. We're so busy running around doing the things that we think are so important. And God said, well, maybe my priority list for you is a little different than your priority list for you is. And I don't know that I'm going to go back to getting on a plane twice a month and being away from my kids, because it's really caused me to step back and reevaluate, after I reevaluated and God took the use of my hand away, what that needs to look like in His terms and not in my terms.
The Lord uses trials and tribulations to teach us. So what lessons have we learned from these difficult times to persevere and grow in our faith?
I've learned not only now, but kind of rewinding the clock on my life. I think we have a choice when hard times come. We can either shake our fist at God, which doesn't make sense to me, or we can just run to Jesus. And He's taught me over and over that He's faithful. He doesn't leave us. He does not forsake. And I guess it just comes down to that. You know, if I'm having a hard day with the COVID thing or someone I know has been diagnosed, it's just run back to Jesus, because He's got this.
I'm going to cry if I don't watch myself here, but when my daughter was 4, she made me a picture that says, "I love you, Daddy, because you never leave me." Every word is misspelled. She colored outside the lines. And it is the one thing I will take from this world with me in my grave, is that picture. Because that picture saved my life. And I literally mean that. After my brother died, it was right as this pandemic began, I did not handle it well. And what got me through, Tracy, you touched on it, was God's presence. He's always there. And it took a 4-year-old's painting to remind me of that. I love you, Daddy, because you never leave me. Our heavenly Daddy will never leave us. He's always there. And I have to go back to that picture often to keep me grounded, to keep my focus where it should be. And this pandemic has affected each of us so deeply in so many different ways. But it's not new to God. Before He cast the first stars in the universe, He knew this day would come. He saw the beginning from the end. And this does not surprise Him. So trust in God. Trust in your Savior. He has got this. He is not surprised by this, and He will get us through this.
Let me just jump off from that, that we say these things, but I think I know them more, that God is not surprised by this, right? And one of the things that's been going through my mind a lot, because, I mean, we had some hopes, my husband and I, our son just and his wife moved from Minneapolis to South Carolina, which doesn't sound very close, but it's less than a day's drive. We could now visit regularly. They could visit regularly, and they couldn't come up for Thanksgiving because of the ways in which one needs to be tested and how many days, and they don't have that many days off from work. And Christmas ahead, if regulations change, does that mean we don't get to see them? And I have had pity parties. I have said, you know, why can't, why isn't, why not? But I'm working to trust in this idea. God is not surprised. And the fact that we have the Holy Spirit, those of us who believe in Christ, have the Holy Spirit living in us. And honestly, I can get through a day without depending on that. I've got a lot of gumption. I can power through. It's when things aren't perfect that we realize that it's through the Spirit that we have faith and hope and love, and we have the patience and the long-suffering, the gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of God living in us. This is an opportunity, and I don't naturally go to that, but this is an opportunity, and there is opportunity to, in the slowing down, yes, Sarah and everybody were talking about that, is the opportunity to remember that, yes, it's not comfortable, but we're not the first to be uncomfortable. And God has given us every tool to work through the circumstances that we're in. And of course, we have some hope in a worldly way. We have some hope in a vaccine changing us back to what we are close to or totally to what we used to know. But there were people in Hebrews we read about who never had an end time, right? And the world was not worthy of them. And our faith is supposed to enable us for times like this. And so I'm not saying I shame myself in that. I'm just being reminded regularly of that. And it is inspiring me. It's not making me depressed to say that, oh, Martha, you're not living up to this. It's more like, God, He's not surprised, and He's got this. And He's got it in part because He's got the Holy Spirit living inside me and inside you.
I think that the slowness has caused at least us in the Harnish House to go back to the roots of our faith and be more deliberate about it. So I love our homeschool curriculum because I always, it's just so Holy Spirit filled. I'll open up the book and it's exactly what we need at that moment. And so starting at the beginning of the school year in August, it had us beginning to memorize Psalm 139. And I'm just going to share a little bit of it with you. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And it's just this gentle reminder, or maybe a reminder with a hammer, that just like all of you guys said, it's happened before. We've had the Spanish flu. We've had the Black Plague. So many times in history, we've seen these huge plagues come through and just wreak destruction. But God knew before time even began what was coming. He gave us the peace of His voice. He gave us the peace of His spoken word. He's never left us. He knows everything that hasn't happened yet. And He's there even in our anxiety. Even when those feelings creep up, or the bitterness and not being able to see our family, or having to turn a screen online and watch church online instead of standing in a sanctuary filled with music, just how different that is. He still is there even then. Like, He doesn't leave us or forsake us. So I have a challenge for anybody who's listening. Go grab the Psalms and just get lost in them, especially Psalm 139. Maybe try memorizing it. I know it's a long Psalm, but take a verse so we can just start getting it in your head, because in those places when Satan likes to creep in and tell you that you're alone, that you're abandoned, that you have no hope, that it will never go back to normal, God says, I'm still on the throne.
There's plenty of change and uncertainty surrounding us, but Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Family Life News team discusses the comfort and hope we take in God's unchanging nature, regardless of the circumstances we live in.
I often feel like God uses circumstances to teach us something. So I kind of ask myself in the midst of trials now, Lord, what do you want me to learn, whether it's about you or about another person or about myself? And I have also been encouraged with scripture. I love Psalm 16 because, again, we've been talking about His word, but Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life and you will fill me with joy in your presence. And I'm just reminded over and over and over again, Martha talked about fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who directs the fruit. We are not fruit producers on our own. We are called to dwell with Him, to abide with the Lord. That's our job, to abide and to nestle in. One of my pastors used to say, why don't you just crawl up on your daddy's chest? You know, crawl up on Papa, Abba, Father's chest and snuggle in, nestle in there. So I think it's that reminder for me to be in His presence. And also, as I am in His presence, then that will come through in my responses to others and my attitude and my words. And it will help me to point other people to the hope we have in Him.
I've come to a couple of commitments, maybe more than a couple of commitments for this December. And one of them is that it is not unusual for the whole history of the church. The church has celebrated Advent. Many Protestants don't. But Advent is that season. It's basically the month of December leading up to Christmas, where Christians actually lived without the twinkling lights and without a lot of celebration in the kind of party way, but in a way of thinking about the importance of the incarnation and the hope of the coming of Jesus the second time, and of the hope of the second advent. So actually, there's lots of materials out there to help someone walk through with devotions through the month of December, through Advent, for the celebration of what is core about Christmas. And so that's a second one of my commitments is that, so the first is to really pay attention to Advent, which I've been trying to do, but even more because I don't have a choice. There's not going to be, oh, let me interrupt Advent for this party and this get together and this concert. But then the second one is to really focus on what is essential about Christmas. It was this very strange event with a pregnant virgin and a stall and a feed trough and the coming of God in the incarnation as a human to be like us and to save us. So that story begins, in a sense, a part of that story begins with Christmas. And as much as I like our tradition around opening stockings in my family, what's really essential is that incarnation. So I'm going to try very much to be focusing on the essential part of Christmas. And then the other one is associated with what everybody's been talking about, that kind of slowing down. And how do we serve others this December? Well, we're not singing in nursing homes. We're not singing carols in nursing homes. And probably we aren't allowed to go to the soup kitchen and serve up food. Or there's lots of things that we may have done in the past. But to be paying attention to all that stationery that people have given me over the years that sits there, you know, I have pens, I have paper, and I can buy postage. Or is there really somebody right next door that we can shovel the walk for? What acts of service have I overlooked in my busyness? Or what ones are new because of COVID that are new opportunities? So I would say that I've got those three commitments, in a sense, of how to walk through December as I go toward Christmas this year.
Martha, you said something earlier about, am I leaving this encounter in a way that edifies, builds up, or am I tearing down? And that's something that I've been through this whole pandemic as we are in this Christmas season. I'll quote the great theologian Ebenezer Scrooge, I promise to keep Christmas in my heart all year round. I mean, it's not just a day, it's not just a season, it's a way of life. We have a saying in our newsroom, be the change you want to see in the world you want to be. It starts with each one of us. In life, you will make maybe four or five major life-changing decisions. The rest of your life is made up of 20 million small choices. But it's in those moments where your character and your integrity is defined. And what will you choose? Which path will you choose? Are you leading a life that is edifying? Are you leading a life that is tearing down, complaining, grumbling? This pandemic has taught me that. It's in those small moments, seemingly small moments, the choice that I make. Do I choose to grumble, complain, or do I choose to praise God, to lift others up, to be that change we all want to see? This pandemic will pass. We will have a vaccine. It will pass. It's not a forever thing. But this moment God has given us for a reason. It's what we do with this moment that will make the difference.
I think the big question I ask myself is, how do I function right now? How do I get through the next hour? How do I process the loss of a holiday with my family? And how do I stand strong in front of my kids and my husband and the people in the circles that the Lord has placed me in. And the only way I get through each day and thinking about how this may play out over the next month or months or year is just remembering Aslan is on the move. Like God, he was king before, he's king in the past, he's king today, he's king in the future. So just take comfort, because how you react to this situation and your frustrations and your hurt and your loss and your loneliness, how you respond to it, your reaction can lead others to the hope of Christ. But not if we're stuck in a place where Satan wants us, which is immobile, immovable. I love all the suggestions that everybody's given for the last half hour, grabbing letters, you know, serving the people around you, using social media or any of the technology we have to connect with people that might be lonely and looking for opportunities to serve that are not in large groups. Those are amazing. Your response, your mind, and where your head is at, it's only going to be in a good place if it's in the Word. It's only going to be in a good place if you're memorizing. It's only going to be in a good place if you're worshiping. It's only going to be in a good place if you turn the TV on and you watch church and you connect with the people that you love so much in the church body. And it's only going to be in a good place if you do the things that the Lord has trained you to do since the day that you were born, since the day that you found him. So lean back on some of those things that you have learned back in Sunday school when you were a little kid, in the moments where you found him. Go, lean back on those feelings that you felt when you found Christ and stand on those things and stand on the truth out of Psalm 139 that God knows everything. He knows what the outcome is, so how you respond is everything.
Whether you're facing loss, loneliness, or despair, may you take solace in the words of Isaiah 41:10, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And that brings to an end our special Black Friday Noon Report. Our thanks to the entire Family Life News team for their contributions to this feature. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday week. I'm Brennan Dixon, Family Life News.